Chapter 2 Prologue. Why Beelzebub was in our solar system. It was in the year 223 after the creation of the world, by objective time calculation, or as would be said here on Earth, in the year 1921 after the birth of Christ. Through the universe flew the trans-space communication ship Karnak. Having left the spaces of the Esu Paratsara, that is, the Milky Way, it was flying from the planet Caritas to the solar system Pandats Nok, the sun of which is called the Pole Star. On this trans-space ship was Beelzebub, with his kinsmen and close companions. He was on his way to the planet Revozvradender, to a conference in which he had consented to take part at the request of friends of long standing. Only the resemblance of these old friendships had induced him to accept the invitation, for he was no longer young, and so lengthy a voyage, with its inevitable hardships, was by no means an easy task for one of his years. A short time before this voyage, Beelzebub had returned home to the planet Caritas, the place of his arising, and far from which, due to circumstances not depending on his essence, he had passed many years of his existence in conditions alien to his nature. These long years of an existence unsuited to him, with all the perceptions and experiences foreign to his essence, had not failed to leave a noticeable mark on his common presence. Time itself had by now inevitably aged him, and these unaccustomed conditions of existence had brought Beelzebub, that same Beelzebub who had had so exceptionally strong, fiery, and splendid a youth, to a no less exceptional old age. Long, long before, when Beelzebub was still existing at home on the planet Caritas, he had been taken, owing to his extraordinarily resourceful intelligence, into service on the Sun Absolute, where our Lord Sovereign Endlessness has the fundamental place of his dwelling. And there Beelzebub, with a number of others like himself, had become an attendant upon his endlessness. But then, owing to his youthful and still unformed reason, as well as to his callow and impetuous mentation with its unequally flowing associations, that is, a mentation based on a limited understanding, which is natural for beings who have not yet become fully responsible, Beelzebub once saw something in the government of the world that seemed to him illogical, and having found support among his comrades, unformed beings like himself, interfered in what was none of his business. Thanks to the force and impetuosity of Beelzebub's nature, his intervention, supported by his comrades, soon captured all minds and brought the central kingdom of the megalocosmos to the brink of revolution. Having learned of this, his endlessness, notwithstanding his all-lovingness and all-forgivingness, was constrained to banish Beelzebub and his comrades to one of the remote corners of the universe, to the solar system Ors, whose inhabitants call it simply the solar system. And he assigned, as the place of their existence, one of the planets of that solar system, namely the planet Mars, with the privilege of existing on other planets also, but only of that solar system. Among these exiles, besides Beelzebub's comrades, were many who had merely sympathized with him, as well as the attendants and subordinates of Beelzebub and his friends. They all arrived with their entire households at this remote place, And in a short time, there was formed on the planet Mars a whole colony of three-centered beings from various planets of the central part of our great universe. This population, so foreign to that planet, accommodated itself little by little to its new dwelling place, and to shorten the long years of exile, many of them found some occupation or other, either on Mars or on neighboring planets that had been almost entirely neglected because of their remoteness from the center and the poverty of all their formations. As the years rolled by, many of these exiles, either on their own initiative or in response to needs of a general character, gradually migrated from Mars to other planets. But Beelzebub himself, with his close attendants, remained on the planet Mars, where he organized his existence more or less tolerably. One of his chief occupations was the setting up of an observatory on the planet Mars for the observation of remote points of the universe as well as of the conditions of existence of beings on neighboring planets. And this observatory of his, by the way, later became well known and even famous everywhere in the universe. Although the solar system Oars had been neglected because of its remoteness from the center and for many other reasons, the most holy cosmic individuals surrounding our common father Endlessness had sent messengers from time to time to the planets of this solar system to regulate more or less the process of existence of the three brain beings arising there and to bring it into accord with the general world harmony. Thus, to one of the planets of this solar system, the planet called Earth, a messenger was once sent from our Endlessness, a certain Ashiada Shirmash. And as Beelzebub had fulfilled a special task indispensable to his mission, this messenger, upon his return to the Sun Absolute, earnestly besought his Endlessness to pardon the once young and fiery, but now aged, Beelzebub. In view of this request of Ashiada Shirmash, and also of the modest and conscious existence of Beelzebub himself, our maker, creator, pardoned him and gave him permission to return to the place of his arising. And so it was that now, after a long absence, Beelzebub was again in the center of the universe. His influence and authority, far from having declined during his exile, had, on the contrary, greatly increased, since all those around him clearly recognized that, thanks to the long years he had spent in unaccustomed conditions, his knowledge and experience had inevitably been broadened and deepened. And so, when events of great importance occurred on one of the planets of the solar system, Panduxnok, Beelzebub's old friends decided to intrude upon him and invite him to the conference concerning these events. And that is why Beelzebub, with his kinsmen and attendants, were now making the long journey on the spaceship Karnak from the planet Keratos to the planet Revos Redender. At the time to which our tale refers, all those aboard the big space ship Karnak were occupied either with their duties or simply with actualizing what is called active being mentation. Among the passengers, one very handsome boy stood out. He was always near Beelzebub himself. This was Hassin, the son of Beelzebub's favorite son, Tuluf. After his return home from exile, Beelzebub had seen his grandson Hassin for the first time, and appreciating his good heart, and also owing to what is called family attraction, had taken an instant liking to him. And as the moment happened to coincide with the time when the reason of young Hassin needed to be developed, Beelzebub, now having a good deal of free time, took charge of the education of his grandson himself, and from then on kept Hassin with him wherever he went. For his part, Hassin so loved his grandfather that he would not stir a step without him, and eagerly absorbed everything he said or taught. As this narrative begins, Beelzebub, Hassin, and Ahun, the devoted old servant who always accompanied Beelzebub everywhere, were sitting on the highest kaznik, or upper deck of the Karnak, under the Kalnok Chrononis, a sort of glass bell, talking among themselves while observing the boundless space. Beelzebub was speaking about the solar system where he had spent many years. He was describing the peculiarities of the nature of a planet called Venus. During the conversation, word was brought to Beelzebub that the captain of the ship wished to speak with him, and Beelzebub gave his consent.